Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
You're on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. November is a month to celebrate men's health. It marks both Movember, a movement that spotlights the conversation regarding men's health issues and helping men live longer, as well as Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. As the third most common cancer among Singaporean men, prostate cancer accounts for 14.1% of cancer diagnoses. With Singapore's aging population, this is of particular concern as the risk increases beyond the age of 50. We find out more about prostate cancer in Health Suites next on Money FM 89.3.
Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Today we take a closer look at prostate cancer with Dr. Lincoln Tan, urologist, Gleneagles Hospital, Singapore. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Hi, Clarissa. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I have a husband, I have sons. This is very relevant to me. Why does prostate cancer persist in Singapore?
As you said, prostate cancer is the second most common cancer locally, and it strikes men more from the age 50 and onwards. So as our population ages, as a percentage, you will see more and more men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. The second reason is for a rising trend is possibly due to environmental reasons, due to our diet and our lifestyle. And thirdly, of course, having access to good healthcare, which allows us to check men more frequently. So for example, Asian men in general have lower risk of prostate cancer compared to Caucasian men. But when Asian men migrate to, let's say, to the US or to Europe, the migrants as well as their children will be found to have prostate cancer rates getting closer and closer to the native Caucasian men. So environment does play a part.
Okay, so the first thing I heard is part of it is the aging population. And because we're getting older and living longer, that's one of the reasons why the rates go up.
Yep.
Okay, but the question I have, I suppose, as a woman is there still a stigma for men to be able to talk about their health issues or get screened earlier for things like prostate cancer?
So it's known that men have a poorer health-seeking behavior compared to women. That probably accounts partly for the lower life expectancy and health outcomes for men compared to women. And I think part of the reason is this social construct that men need to be stoic and in control, and that having an illness is a weakness. But saying that, I find that, this is true maybe of an older generation of Singaporeans, I find this is less and less of an issue now as men get more educated and they don't feel the need to adhere to this stuff, toxic masculinity. I think the stigma is getting less as compared to before.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. That would mean, or at least I assume that follows, that more men are getting screened earlier.
I do think that more men are getting screened earlier, but not enough. So unfortunately, in Singapore, up to 30% of men diagnosed with prostate cancer are still diagnosed at stage 4 or the final stage of prostate cancer, where cancer is already spread to their bones. If you compare that to America, where only 4% of men who are diagnosed with prostate cancer are diagnosed in the final stage. So we still have a long way to go.
All right, let's talk about the importance of early detection. What are the guys looking for?
Okay, so while we often talk about symptoms, and often the symptoms that men from their 50s onwards may generally feel are actually urinary symptoms. That means they may feel that the flow is a bit slower than it was before, or maybe they go to the toilet, they pull on a zipper, but you know the guys left and right of them have come and gone, but they're still waiting to pee, or waking up at night. So there are many urinary symptoms that men may experience as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when you have these symptoms, you should go and see a doctor. However, it's important to note that actually most early prostate cancers actually don't cause symptoms.
Right.
It's just that when they come for symptoms and we diagnose them for their benign prostate growth, we may also find prostate cancer at the same time.
Right. Okay. So then when we talk about early detection saving lives, how do they detect it early if there are no symptoms early?
Correct. So it's to know that if you want to avoid, if you want to find prostate cancer early, is to get tested when you're 50, starting from 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you have symptoms or not, have a discussion with your doctor about having a PSA test, which is a blood test to detect prostate cancer, and as well as examination of your prostate.
Okay, now let's talk about, you know, we talked about and addressed the stigma earlier, but I'm sure the stigma also leads to myths. Can we debunk some common myths that men might have about prostate cancer?
Yes, so I think the first myth that prevents men from coming early is that is this impression that prostate cancer is very common, it's slow growing, you won't die from prostate cancer, so it's not important. And like any myth, there is a certain element of truth to that. It is true that many prostate cancers are slow growing and many men will live with the prostate cancer rather than die of prostate cancer. But there's still a sizable number of prostate cancers which are deadly, which will kill a man before their prime. And so it's important we work towards earlier diagnosis. And those that are not important, those cancers that are not going to kill a person, we don't treat. But at least we can find those cancers that are deadly and treat it before there's a chance to kill the patient.
Okay, so there are different kinds of prostate cancers.
Yes, correct. So the behavior of prostate cancer can vary quite widely. When we diagnose a cancer, we grade it, so which is basically the character or how aggressive the cancer is. And many of the, I like to call them either pussy cats or tigers. There'll be many of the cancers that are pussy cats, and you may live 10, 20 years without treatment. But at the same time, there are the tigers where within 5 years, you can, the cancer may have spread from being just in the prostate to going to the bones. So our job is to find those tigers and treat them, but leave the kittens alone.
Okay, these tigers that you're talking about, these more aggressive prostate cancers, do they present differently? Are we looking for different symptoms or is it the same?
So that's the issue. Is by the time these are symptomatic, that means you have symptoms of advanced cancer, like spread to the bones, loss of weight, etc., it's a bit late. We want to find them when they're still asymptomatic. So again, same thing when you're around your 50s, start to look for it.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, let me relate that to being a woman. As a woman, if you are postmenopausal, you have a better chance of surviving breast cancer because cancer moves slower in your system, or at least that's my understanding of it. Is there in any way, shape or form that misconception about prostate cancer in older gentlemen versus the younger men?
No, so there's no relationship to the, well, whether as men get older, their hormone levels drop, that their prostate cancer gets less deadly or anything like that. It's, right. There's no relationship.
Okay, so that's another myth we can debunk right there, gentlemen. Now, let's talk about treatments. Cancer treatment has moved a lot. So could you tell us more about laparoscopic and robotic-assisted surgery for the more minimal invasive treatments of prostate cancer?
So the surgical treatment for prostate cancer is actually the removal of the prostate itself, right? Mm-hmm. And then we join the bladder back to the urethra, so you pass urine just like normal, right? Right. Some people think that after prostate surgery, you pass urine through a hole in the tummy or something like that. So you still pass urine normally. Mm-hmm. And robotic surgery is the latest advancement in this surgery in the sense the robot basically has a big camera that gives us a magnified view and small wristed instruments, basically less than 8 millimeters, that mimic the human hand. That means they're as flexible as a human hand. So this allows a surgeon to do complex surgery with greater precision, with the flexibility of having our hand. It's just like having our hand inside the human body, but without having to make a cut the size of my hand, right? The cut's only about 8 millimeters.
Right.
So this keyhole surgery, but it's important to note that the robot is not autonomous, meaning it doesn't move by itself. It's just a tool that the surgeon controls, all right? So it's still under human control. Laparoscopic surgery is, again, keyhole surgery, but the instruments are not wristed. So it's like comparing operating with chopsticks versus operating with a hand. The benefits of the robotic surgery is that we can remove the prostate with greater precision, less blood loss, and better recovery compared to open surgery. There's actually very minimal pain, and actually on the first day after operation, patients can walk and eat, and you usually leave hospital by the second day.
So recovery is faster as well?
Yes, correct. Previously, when we used to do it through open surgery, which means we make the cut the size of my hand, patients used to stay about a week. So now, by the second day, they're out of hospital already.
Which is good news for the guys who don't want to spend a lot of time in hospital and don't want to spend a lot of downtime recovering from something like this that could potentially be very painful as they recover.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I suppose that's great and that's an advancement. Is chemotherapy also part of the treatment for prostate cancer?
So when we talk about surgery, we're talking about early prostate cancer, mm-hmm. what we call curable cancer, where we remove the organ and then we stop the cancer in its tracks.
Right.
When we talk about chemotherapy, essentially we're talking about cancers that have already spread. That means we're no longer thinking about cure, we're thinking about just control and prolonging life as long as we can. Mm-hmm. So the mainstay of that treatment is actually what we call hormonal therapy, basically by removing the fuel for prostate cancer, which is actually our male hormone, testosterone. And then that can be achieved through injections or tablets. And then we add on chemotherapy for some of the patients after that.
Okay, now we come back to one of the myths that you debunked about, you know, the tigers and the pussycats and some prostate cancers moving very slowly, some being more aggressive. In general, with the different kinds of cancer, how survivable is prostate cancer?
So if prostate cancer is found early, that means the prostate cancer is still only in the prostate, it hasn't spread anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Actually, with any treatment, be it surgery or radiotherapy, the 5-year survival rate is almost 100%. And it's more than 90% for 10-year survival. So compared to other cancers like lung and colon, where we always talk about 5 years, in prostate cancer, we actually talk about 10-year survival rates. So if it's found early, the 10-year survival rate is almost 90%, more than 90%, in fact. But if you found it late, actually the 5-year survival is only 30% or less. So it's a big difference from being found early and being found late.
Okay, now I actually had a conversation with a gentleman who was told by his doctor that, oh, you know, he's in his 70s, mind you. Oh, you will probably outlive your prostate cancer. So is that a myth as well, that he could outlive his prostate cancer?
So again, if every myth has an element of truth, So you're right. There will be, if this 70-year-old man had a kitten, yes, he will probably outlive the cancer. But if he was found with a tiger, he may not, right? And there are different types of 70-year-old guys. There's some 70-year-old guys who are already on dialysis, have had a heart attack and all that. And so maybe just their natural life expectancy is already not very long.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have a 75-year-old patient who was doing 200 pull-ups a day. So this guy is already fitter than most of us younger men. And mm-hmm. for him, prostate cancer is likely to be the cause of his demise rather than a heart issue, for example.
All right. So it really is going back to get tested for it when you cross past 50. So at least you know if you have it, if you don't, and if you do, which one do you have?
Yes.
All right. Now, I suppose being Singaporeans, we're all very practical and fiscally responsible. Is treating prostate cancer expensive?
Well, it can be expensive. We're using top-notch technology and medications, etc. So it can be expensive, whether you do surgery or radiotherapy. However, I think with most of my patients having integrated shield plans, actually the cash outlay is quite minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And often your Medisave will actually cover whatever cash outlay there is. So quite often many of my patients go through treatment without paying a cent.
Because the reason I ask that is because a lot of people are reticent to go and get medical treatment, especially when cancers are involved, because they think it's going to basically destroy them financially.
That's a very valid consideration. I do have patients like that because, and surprisingly, many of them do have insurance, but they didn't actually check what it covers. So they just had this assumption. But actually, many of the insurance policies they held actually covered most of the costs. And again, like I say, whatever cash he had to come out with, the Medisave actually covered that. So like I say, they were pleasantly surprised that actually they could access this care quickly without breaking the bank.
All right, so removing that as a concern, gentlemen, you really should get tested once you cross into 50 and beyond.
Yes.
All right, we've been speaking with Dr. Lincoln Tan, urologist, Gleneagles Hospital, Singapore. Doctor, thank you for the time. It's been very, very useful information, I think, for our listeners. I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO, available on Google Play or the App Store.